Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's go. Happy Thursday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour Big Bang Barbecue. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Chicago to Sheboygan, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. Hey, you're on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
We come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Big show for you tonight, of course, is the NBA draft. So a lot on the NBA draft over the course of the next 3 hours. So we're excited to bring you that. Lonzo and LeVar look locked in to the Lakers. What does that mean for the future of LA? And what does it mean for trying to sell the Lakers to LeBron next summer? We'll get to that coming up in about 15 minutes from now. We've also got country music star Cole Swindell, who's going to join us. The guy's an enormous sports fan. He was totally locked into the Predators Stanley Cup run. He's a huge Atlanta Falcons fan. So we'll talk to Cole Swindell coming up here at the end of the hour, toward the end of the hour, about 35 minutes from now. Also, we'll look at this draft tonight and ask, who could be the next Kawhi Leonard, a superstar that is drafted after the lottery, or at least after the top 10? And we've got, I think, one of the better dumbership stories in a long, long time coming up in the third hour of the show. So a lot to get to this morning here on the program. Hit us up on the phones at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. You can always connect with us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. And a reminder that you can watch the show, the digital broadcast, by going to watchda.com. That's also mobile friendly. With tonight's draft, look, some things feel set in stone. Numero uno, Markel Fultz of the Sixers at one. Numero dos, Lonzo Ball to the Lakers at two. But one thing you don't know is, could Phil Jackson be dumb enough to trade away Kristaps Porzingis tonight? He did an interview with the home-friendly MSG Network last night, where you knew that he was only going to get softballs, and you knew that, number one, he didn't even have to do this, but, okay, educate the fan base going into draft night, an exciting night for the Knicks because they actually have their pick this year. And, you know, basically, I'm guessing the attitude from MSG Networks was, hey, we'll put Phil on camera. He'll talk glowingly about the team. He'll talk about how excited he is about the direction. He'll talk how excited he is about the draft pick and moving forward. And instead, Zen Master Phil Jackson takes this opportunity to publicly criticize the best player on the team and the franchise cornerstone, Kristaps Porzingis, for missing the exit interview at the end of the season. He takes this opportunity to not squash rumors about shopping Porzingis, about openly saying, hey, I've never ever had a player miss an exit interview, so we're going to keep our options open, and yes, we're making phone calls. which to me is mind-bogglingly stupid. If you are frustrated by Porzingis missing the exit interview, that's one thing. But why would you publicly declare this? Why would you tell the world you're frustrated with him? Why, in any way, shape, or form, would you discredit or bring down the value or criticize your most important asset? Why? Because you know what? Phil's not good at this. The question this morning is, why is Phil Jackson so bad at his job? It's where we begin. It's your cold open.
Does it bring us two starters and a draft pick, or you know, something that's even beyond that is something that we have to look at as far as going down the road. We know what he is. He's a unicorn and he's special. I don't think I've ever had a player over 25 years of coaching, maybe 30, not coming to an exit meeting. So it's not happened to me. I know it happens to other people and other players.
Amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
Number one, the researchers have gone back and realized that Phil's actually lying. Maybe he forgot, but Shaq missed an exit interview when he was in LA under Phil Jackson. But more importantly is that, again, If you can't trade him tonight, let's say you're only going to trade him if you are bowled over by a huge deal, which is what it sounded like from Phil. Why would you then publicly criticize this guy more? By missing the exit interview, Kristaps Porzingis has said, "I don't love or feel comfortable about the direction of where we're going. I am frustrated." And so now you're going to call him to the carpet for being frustrated and make it public. Why would you do that? Think about all of the great coaches in the game today. Popovich, Kerr, on the football side, Belichick. And think about what they would do in a situation like this. Ask yourself what they would do. And great general managers and great coaches, great leaders, keep it all in-house. And all they ever do is prop up their guys publicly, because it makes no sense to discredit your guys publicly if you are going to shop them. There is no benefit there. Cost analysis, there is no benefit. And why do you think that Porzingis might be frustrated by this organization? Because he just witnessed two examples of legends, great players, future Hall of Famers, however you want to term them, be dismissed, be openly embarrassed by the organization. Porzingis watched Carmelo and Phil play a tabloid back page battle where Phil is taking shots at Carmelo. Then he watched the owner publicly accuse Charles Oakley, one of the most popular players in the organization's history, of being a drunk, and getting him tackled and bum-rushed and pushed out of Madison Square Garden. And so now Phil is continuing this process of alienating your best players. Why is Phil Jackson so bad at this job is an incredible question, and I wish I could answer it. The only thing I can come to is Phil a great coach? Yes, Phil was a great coach. Phil was a good player. He was a great coach. And Phil is a really well-read, intellectual, thoughtful guy. My only explanation is that Phil's success and his intellect has led him to believe he cannot be wrong, that he is always right. And so he begins everything, every project, every question, every scenario, every problem. He starts from the base of, well, I'm right. Because, well, look, I've had all of this success and I'm really smart and I've proven to be smarter than a lot of the guys I'm around. I'm smarter than my assistant coaches. I'm smarter than other coaches in the league. I'm smarter than my players. I'm sure Phil Jackson, being an intellect and being a well-read guy and having all these championships, looks at himself and says, well, I'm smarter than my boss. I'm smarter than James Dolan. I'm smarter than Carmelo. I'm smarter than Porzingis and Porzingis's brother. I'm smarter than all these guys' agents. I know. I'm smarter than the media. I'm smarter than the fans. So I know. I'm right. And, oh, by the way, look at all these rings I have. But Phil has had 1,000 missteps, and this is just another one. Whether it's the triangle, sniping with Carmelo, hiring Derek Fisher, the Joakim Noah deal, whatever it is. The only thing he's done right is gotten Porzingis at 4. The only thing. And now he is taking a blowtorch to that. And the idea that the Knicks would trade Porzingis tonight for a draft pick, you will not get the equivalent of Porzingis in this draft. You will not. There are talent scouts and evaluators that said not only would Porzingis be the number one pick in this draft, he would be the number one pick by a long shot. So what? You're going to roll the dice and trade Porzingis because he missed an exit interview for the number 4 pick in the draft? For another number 1? For the number 3 pick? What are you doing? Honestly, what are you doing? It begs the question, why is Phil so bad at his job unless there is an element of wanting to get fired? Unless there's an element of, you know what, I hate it here. I don't want to be here. I'd rather be in Malibu or in my Montana cabin. You know what? I just want to get fired and take my money and go home and retire and not and get paid not to work. That's the only thing I can think of, because how does a guy so smart and so successful make so many dumb decisions and act so stupidly? He goes on MSG last night, their own in-house television network, and criticizes the only guy on the team the fans like. He's the only guy the fans like. Phil is unbelievable. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS, Joel Embiid, you gotta love. Tweeting out, hey, Porzingis, you can miss all the exit meetings you want to here in Philly. That's how most of the team feel, how most of the league feels. Wait, we would get a 7-3, do everything, quote unquote, unicorn that runs the floor, that shoots from the outside, that has a silky smooth jumper. We get that, but the only thing we have to worry about is maybe if the organization is a flaming dumpster fire, he might miss an exit interview. Yeah, we'll sign up for that. How about we never make him go to a meeting? How about we never make him look at any film? Yeah, we'll take that. Outrageous. Outrageous. Like, now the clock is ticking on just how bad Phil can continue to mess that thing up. Has anybody been so good at one thing and so bad at another? Like, there's got to be some type of award-winning novelist or author, sports writer, columnist that is terrible on air. There's got to be a Hall of Fame player that is an absolute disaster in the front office. I mean, Isaiah Thomas, that's a good one, Mraz. Isaiah, Hall of Fame player, but drilled the CBA into the ground into bankruptcy and then made the Knicks a tire fire. Yeah, that's a good one. When we come back, we're all thinking that LeBron could leave and maybe will leave Cleveland next summer. Many have said, how about LA as a destination? But with the Lakers likely taking Lonzo Ball tonight and LeVar hanging in the shadows, could that be something that LeBron doesn't want to deal with? We'll get to it next. DA, CBS Sports Radio. Do you feel the blast?
Way sports talk was meant to be, on an imaginary spaceship.
I'm a fat lord.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Even if you're fat.
When it's time to replace your battery, trust the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Help you choose the Superstart battery that's an exact fit for your vehicle. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. You can watch us at watchda.com on a daily basis. NBA draft, of course, tonight, tomorrow. We'll have complete reaction to the draft. I think we all expect Markelle Fultz to go number 1 to the Sixers and then Lonzo Ball to go number 2 to the Lakers. I don't think LeVar will be as obnoxious once Lonzo is in LA. I say that because I actually think LeVar is smarter than we give him credit for. Because LeVar has made himself, by riding the coattails of his son, but made himself into a household name. LeVar Ball knew exactly what he was doing when he priced his sneakers at $500. It created a conversation the next day of, are these sneakers worth $500? What he did was he looked at the structure of how we debate sports in 2017 and played exactly to that band. He played exactly to it. When First Take, when Undisputed, when all of those talking heads, when sports talk radio shows, when Around the Horn, when all of these shows map out their programming, they take some type of story and then create a question mark around it and then have two talking heads or three talking heads or a panel argue back and forth. And what he did was he created an obvious debate question with his product. There's no reason a pair of sneakers should be $500, but he knew if I price them at $95, nobody's going to discuss or debate them. There is no hot take to be had. If I price them at $150, there's not really a hot take to be had. If I price them at $500, it is so outrageous, all I get is free programming. I get free advertising, even if everybody says it's not worth it. It makes them a relevant piece of the marketplace. You might say, DA, you're giving him too much credit. LeVar Ball played this thing to a fiddle, played this thing like a fiddle. He became a regular on these talking head shows. He got free airtime for his Big Baller brand. He got free advertising for his apparel line. Lonzo doesn't run the apparel line. The mom doesn't run the apparel line. Who do you think is getting all of the proceeds, all of the profits? I mean, I'm guessing LeVar is cutting his son into it, but this is all going through him. He made himself rich by being obnoxious. And it's very transparent. There's a lot of things he says he doesn't even believe. He says to Christine Leahy, stay in your lane or whatever, know your lane or whatever he said. The world freaks out because it's sexist, disrespectful, all this. He printed a T-shirt for his apparel line the next day and started selling it. I say this all not to gloss LeVar Ball, but to say I think once Lonzo's in place, playing where they want him to play, where LeVar wants him to play, knowing that the Lakers brand can make you a superstar, playing in Los Angeles where you are already known, I think that's when LeVar throws his hands up and goes, my work here is done. Now, I'm not saying LeVar can stay out of the spotlight. I think he's drunk on celebrity. I think this guy is addicted to the limelight. He's addicted to being relevant. But I'm not so certain. I actually think you will see him go away from Lonzo and start doing the same thing with his other sons and start pushing them and promoting them and propping them up. I think you'll see him drift away from Lonzo. Now, Lonzo's likely to be the best of his kids. So if Lonzo's the best player of his three kids, he'll be in the limelight more because of Lonzo than anybody else. But I think once Lonzo's positioned with the Lakers, you're going to kind of see LeVar drift away from the Lakers. And so while I think LeBron could look at the LeVar Ball situation and go, I don't want to go play if LeVar Ball is at every practice, at every game, talking to the media about everything that happens. I mean, think about Eli Apple's mom. Eli Apple's mom became a problem for the Giants because Eli Apple's mom wanted to act as though she was part of the media by putting her son's private problems and the team's private problems public. Eli Apple's mom started talking about things about Eli and about the offense and about the team and about the coach, and that became problematic. Imagine LeVar Imagine LeVar starting to talk about all the problems with Luke Walton, or the problems with the offense that they run, or the problems Lonzo is having with Ingram, or the problems that his son is having with the owner or the GM. You know, you could only imagine going, well, I don't want to go there. And LeBron's going to have his choice of all of these things. But I've got to figure that LeVar isn't so stupid as to submarine the Lakers situation, because it's the perfect situation that he always wanted for his son. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, Twitter, DA on CBS. Craig tweets in, DA, Phil's just being Phil, alienating players and fans as usual. Hashtag Knicks tape. Brian tweets, James Dolan should be forced to sell the team, DA, and take Phil Jackson with him. Worst owner and executive in all of sports. Oh, they are a two-headed monster, all right. They are a two-headed monster. These two buffoons are like Bebop and Rocksteady from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I mean, they are just two goons running into the wall. They can't do anything right. And the funniest thing about this is James Dolan cares less about his franchise being terrible, a laughingstock, as long as he's not the villain, as long as he's not being blamed. I would say James Dolan's misery level is actually less today than it has been at any point over the course of the Knicks losing, because everybody's now just blaming Phil. And Phil is not Dolan's boy. It's not like Isaiah. When people blamed Isaiah, it hurt Dolan because Dolan really believed in Isaiah. When people blame Phil, James Dolan sits back, crosses his arms, and is like, yeah, yeah. How's it feel, man? Yeah, you like that? All right. You like that? Because Phil held him over a barrel. Phil said, I'm only going to sign if I get X number of dollars. I'm only going to sign if I'm the highest paid executive in the league. I'm only going to sign with these types of, you know, stipulations, and he held him over a barrel. And now James Dolan's going, how do you like it? How you like it? How you like it? Uh-huh. You wanted this? Now you got it. And James Dolan probably doesn't even mind so much that the team sucks, which goes to show you just how deep the dysfunction is within that Knicks organization. When we come back here on the show, how about country music star Cole Swindell, who's going to join us, as he is a huge sports fan, big Falcons fan, so he can't be doing well at this point after the Super Bowl, but also followed the Preds in the Stanley Cup playoffs and is one of the hottest country music stars in the game today. So we'll talk to Cole Swindell coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to the DA Show, only on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. This is the current single by country music star Cole Swindell, Flatliner, featuring Dierks Bentley. And Cole is scheduled to join us coming up here in just a few moments. He's a big sports fan, locked into the Atlanta sports scene. Can't imagine that Super Bowl was all that interesting for him. Oh, it was interesting, actually, just not all that enjoyable. So we'll talk to Cole coming up here shortly. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. Uncle Sambo tweets, DA, Phil is just doing his best George Costanza at play now. Hashtag Summer of Phil. Maybe Phil is trying to do the opposite of everything that he thinks he should do. You know, this is a guy that has won double-digit championship rings. The guy has won 11 championship rings as a coach and 2 as a player. So he's been part of, an important part of, 13 championships. And yet, doing what he's doing in this capacity, he is the worst ever. And if tonight the Knicks trade Porzingis, whoever gets Porzingis is going to be loving life. How many 7'3 athletic guys run the floor with a smooth jumper, can shoot from the outside, and can fill up a box score and is just scratching their potential? How many guys are that? Yeah, if you get to trade for Porzingis, you're going to be a very happy customer. Tonight is the NBA draft. We'll talk about that as we move our way through the morning, of course. I like Markelle Fultz at number one. I totally understand why the Sixers will take him at number one. I think it's legitimate to say that of all the guys in this draft, he has the least bustability, and that's important. Maybe he doesn't have the highest ceiling, but he has the least bustability. And for a Sixers franchise that has already stacked Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid and has had a number of lottery picks before, plus Rookie of the Year and Dario Saric, I think what you're looking for here is the least bustability. I think you want a guy that's either going to be great or very good or at least a plus. Obviously, it's the number one pick overall, so you'd like him to be a superstar, a Hall of Famer, a legend. But after the process, you want to start winning. You want to start putting this thing together because now you have the pieces in place where you feel like you can. And if Markelle Fultz is a scoring point guard that can facilitate Embiid and Simmons and Saric and the rest of that team, you've got to take him at number one. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Cole Swindell is one of the hottest country music names out there right now, nominated for Country Music Song of the Year with You Should Be Here with the iHeartRadio Music Awards. He's had 1 billion impressions. He's had 47 million YouTube views. He had 6 straight number one singles. The guy is a superstar and a big sports fan. Cole Swindell joining us here on the show. Cole, how you doing, man?
D.A., what's up, brother, man? Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. I'm guessing that you're coming down off of the high of having the Nashville Predators run all the way to the Stanley Cup Final, huh?
I think the whole city of Nashville is, man. I think there's a hangover there. I mean, it was just an unbelievable run and crazy time for our whole city, not just the Preds. So it was fun to be a part of.
Well, you grew up in Georgia. Were you a hockey fan at all before following the Predators?
No. I admit that. I don't, I'm not trying to claim I've been a lifelong huge hockey fan, but when you're in a city and you support, I'm a huge Falcons fan. We'll get to that. But the Titans are right there too. And just to see the support for the teams, the Preds, and it's infectious, man. And, being in Nashville and the Preds being around for the majority, the whole time I've been there, I've been able to go to games. I'm more of a football, baseball kind of guy. But I tell you what, there's nothing. I've never been to a sporting event like the playoff games I got to attend in Bridgestone Arena in Nashville. It was unreal. And I know all hockey games are intense. And I just think it did a lot for everybody's knowledge of hockey, for hockey in general.
Yeah, it feels that way. And for hockey fans, when you get to experience a Stanley Cup run or a deep run through the playoffs, man, it is, as you said, infectious to people that aren't hockey fans. And just being inside that building, if you took a non-hockey fan and put them inside that building, wouldn't they just walk away automatically and go, that might be the greatest event I've ever been to?
100%. 100%. I would bet that I'd put all my money on that because I've experienced that, I mean, me going, and I'd always heard is one of those things, once you go, I mean, you got to, go see it live. And when it was a game, me being a sports fan, not really understanding everything about it, the more you learn and just how fast-paced and intense it is. I mean, it makes me mad that I hadn't been a hockey fan all my life because I've been missing out. But to see a city you live in come around anything like that, and me being a sports fan, it was one of those things. I don't know that there hadn't been a time since I've lived in Nashville that the city was like that.
I have to imagine when you're on the country music circuit and you meet a bunch of guys or gals, performers, artists that are in your field, there's not a lot of hockey being talked behind the scenes. But now, my guess is there will be. Like, when you're at the iHeartRadio Music Awards, you probably will have a lot of people that are in your industry that were in Nashville following along on this, right?
100%. That's what, you know, I think, you know, you saw, and the Predators, they used that, and NHL, just a bunch of country music stars that were pulling for the Preds, some of them, you know. I mean, there's people like Vince Gill, legends like him that have been a fan since season one, you know, and then there's, you know, I think artists like me, newer people that are, you know, wanting to pull for our city. And, yeah, I mean, it's nuts to think, you know, I get to do what I love, but then, you know, one of my loves is sports, and I tell you, hockey has definitely grown on me.
Country music star Cole Swindell is our guest here on the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio. So I got to ask you about the Super Bowl, man. At 28-3 as a big Falcons fan, are you confident at that point? Are you going, look, we are never supposed to win, so I am not getting too excited?
The latter, honestly. I hate to say that, but, you know, I knew who we were playing, and I just, you know, I think things change, your game plan, and it's hard to hold on to that, but I think, you know, we definitely had it. It just, there were people, I was up in Canada, actually. I'm on tour with Dierks Bentley, and he rented out us the place up there to watch it, and I was really the only big Falcons fan, but, you know, there was a lot of people that just was pulling for them because, you know, how are the Falcons, you know, playing the Patriots? So, you know, it was heartbreaking, man, and I know it's just one of those things. I don't know, that next day, it didn't even seem real, you know. It was like, that, there's no way that just happened, so.
Yeah, wow. I was hosting a Super Bowl party, and at 28-3, we had people going, oh, man, I guess it's over. Wow, can you believe this? The Patriots are going to get blown out, and I kept saying, this ain't over. This is not over.
Yeah,
this thing is not
over. You know enough. You've seen, you know who you're up against, Brady, Belichick. I mean, that's the last two people you want to be facing, being 28-3, I promise.
Yeah. And because the Falcons had not been there with this group of guys, and so you never know how you're going to handle that.
I just hope, I mean, how are you feeling? I mean, that's why I listen to you and you guys, because y'all know everything about, I'm just a fan, you know, watching, but, you know, what do you think about next year? I mean, are we going to be able to get over that? I don't know. You just look at the Panthers and stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, man. It's a talented team, but I really think they're going to suffer a major hangover. I think emotionally it is so difficult to get over that, because every day that you take the field, every practice, you are reminded that you were that close from achieving the ultimate goal.
And I, you know, it's just hard for me because, you know, but doing what I do, I mean, whether you're a fan of the Falcons or not, I mean, if you don't feel at least bad for those guys, I mean, they worked so hard, you know, all year and got that close and it just slipped away. You know, that's what I felt. So I wasn't even that mad. I was just like, I felt bad for the guys. So,
yeah.
It's, you know, when you're a fan, but that's why we're fans, you know, that's, you got to be there for them when they lose, too.
So what's your earliest Falcons memory? Did you go back to the Dirty Birds before that, the Deion Sanders years?
Yeah,
when did you go back?
I mean, definitely always been a huge Deion fan, but, you know, the 90, the 98, 7, 98, you know, Dirty Birds, that's, you know, probably my earliest real memory, other than just loving Deion and wishing I could do that dance he did. But other than that, it was... It's you know, I've just always kind of, my dad, you know, he was, when I lost him a couple of years ago, and he was always the reason I watched the Braves and the Falcons, and, you know, that's what he loved too. So it's pretty, you know, I remember watching them with him, but those, probably the Deion and the Dirty Bird years, that's probably my first.
So being a big sports fan, were you a jersey guy? Like, did you buy jerseys when you were a kid? Do you have a favorite jersey, maybe a favorite baseball card or football card of one of your favorite guys?
Oh, man, Dale Murphy, for sure. When I was growing up, you know, Dale Murphy was my hero. Him and our country music artist, Randy Travis, that was the two only people I thought they hung the moon, you know. And Dale Murphy, like that, I remember just, you know, being such a big fan, having his jersey, you know, he was my Brave. That was my favorite Brave. And this past year, he actually sent me a signed jersey with a letter that he had heard one of my songs, You Should Be Here, that I was talking about. I wrote about my father. And just to get a letter from one of your heroes, I mean, it about chokes me up, just because, you know, it's cool meeting some of these country music stars now that are around. But, man, to meet a legend that, you know, is one of the reasons you love sports, it was just one of the coolest moments I've had as a country artist, sports fan, and all of it.
Wow, so Dale Murphy heard your song, You Should Be Here, and he reached out.
I was a fan, you know. I talk about him in interviews, and that was my, you know, he was one of my heroes growing up, and I guess he, you know, he was nice enough to reach out and send me a letter with a signed jersey that had MVP 82. I don't know. It's hard to believe that happened. So.
Yeah.
So take me through writing You Should Be Here about your dad. How did it all come to fruition, and how did you end up kind of coming up with the lyrics?
Oh, this is, I'm so glad. Thank you for even bringing that up. This connects to sports as well. I was out on tour with Luke Bryan in 2014, I think, and we were up doing a stadium show at Gillette Stadium. And it's funny, we're just talking about the Patriots. But we're there playing a show, and I'm like the first act on the whole bill, like the opener guy. And I'm out there writing songs with a buddy of mine, Ashley Gorley. And he had taken a picture of Gillette inside with the stage and sent it to his daughter and said, "You should be here." And he asked about that idea, if I wanted to write it, and I immediately thought of something different. I thought of my dad, you know. And so we just wrote it to where anybody could relate. And tell you what, when that song hit country radio, the stories I heard, I mean, it is. That's the reason I moved to Nashville, to write a song like that, man. So I'm very, you know, honored that it helped one person, much less all the stories I've heard. So
yeah, for those that don't know, your dad passed away unexpectedly a couple of years ago, and so the stories.
So this Father's Day, past weekend, you know, it's always a weird time. I don't think it ever gets easy, but I know there's a lot of people listening right now that guarantee you, you know. Went through the same thing, and that's kind of the cool thing about country music, sports, whatever, you know. And you're fans of any of it, you all kind of pull together. It's like a family thing. And so I've had some, you know, great support, and just honestly honored to be able to release a song like that and hear the reaction. So.
Cole Swindell joins us here on the show. He's currently on the Dierks Bentley What the Hell World Tour going on right now. And you'll be celebrating your birthday in a week coming up on the World Tour. That's not a bad thing, huh?
Oh, I know, man. I mean, God, I'm getting older, man. I'm getting on up there. And Dierks, to me, I remember back at my college days at Georgia Southern, you know, that's where I started singing, and I was a massive Dierks Bentley fan. So, I mean, I think I even used one of my birthdays and got a limo. I went to a concert of his in Savannah, Georgia one time. So to now be on tour with him on my birthday, that's, you know, it's just moments like that you can't put a price on them. I mean, it kind of lets you know, wow, all that hard work finally paying off.
No doubt. The website, coleswindell.com. You can get more information about Cole. You can get tickets to the tour at Live Nation or at Ticketmaster.com. You know, Cole, I think I'm going to be going down to Athens for my first trip to a UGA game. I want to go see the Bulldogs.
Are you really?
I go to one road trip in the SEC every single year because I love SEC football so much. I have not been to Athens yet, so...
Oh, you gotta go, man.
I think we're gonna go to the Mississippi State game in September. If you got one suggestion for me in Athens, what do I do?
Man, I'm trying to think. I mean, definitely just, you gotta hit, you know, the tailgates. There's gonna be, but I remember, you know, I was in fraternity in college, Sigma Chi, and I just, all the fraternity and houses that throw the parties, I mean, maybe just, I don't know, stop by one of them, but then definitely go hit the bars downtown too. I mean, it's just a cool city, cool feel, the weather should be perfect, and it's a great football town, you know. I went to school just down the road, so yeah. You have to stop by there sometime too, but as far as SEC schools, Georgia is a, you know, great program, and obviously one of the most fun tailgate spots there is.
Okay, good. So I could be the old guy walking into a frat going, hey,
no,
yeah,
like me now.
Cole Swindell told me I could be here, guys.
Exactly.
All right, so chill out.
Yes. You should be here. You should go there. Yes.
I'm going to be like Will Ferrell in Old School.
In old,
we're streaking!
Oh,
let's go streak!
Yes, one of my favorite movies of all time. But no, it'll be, I guarantee they'll take good care of you, and you will, hopefully you get some Southern hospitality, it'll be good.
You can follow Cole on Twitter as well, at Cole Swindell. And again, the website, coleswindell.com, Live Nation, and Ticketmaster.com as the Dierks Bentley What the Hell World Tour rolls on with Cole. Cole, this was a lot of fun, man. Let's do it again on football season, okay, buddy?
Absolutely, man. You're always welcome at my show. So keep it up, and I'll see you soon.
I appreciate it, buddy. Thanks so much.
All right, bud.
Cole Swindell, country music artist, star, actually nominated right now for the Country Music Song of the Year for You Should Be Here. Very cool. And you got to love a country music star, any real, you know, music star or actor or somebody in that side of things that really knows their sports. Mraz, I know you're a big Cole Swindell fan. You got to love how locked in he is to the Preds run and the Falcons and everything.
It's unbelievable. And I can only picture him up in Canada, of all places, watching the Super Bowl as a diehard Falcon fan. And is there anything worse than watching your team in the Super Bowl with a bunch of people who, like, aren't a fan?
Totally.
That's a tough spot to be in. And to watch that kind of loss, that had to be really heartbreaking for
really
him.
Hard. And I really respect this. Who's your favorite athlete? You know, you could say Julio Jones. You could say somebody. You could say Matt Ryan. Dale Murphy, that means you're old school.
No question.
That means you're totally legit. Because that's the Braves before the Braves were good. That's not even like Tom Glavine. That's not Greg Maddux. That's not the crime dog. That's Dale Murphy of the Braves when there were 3,000 people in the stands. That's badass. Good job by him. When we come back, can the Rockets build the best super team?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.